You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
If they saw Barabbas all those years ago, after he'd been saved from being put, you know, to crucifixion by Christ taking his place. And so I was working through this, and I was sitting at my desk at about 11 o'clock on Friday morning, and God said, "That's enough. We're not going to be speaking about that on Sunday night." And he said, "I want you to talk about authority." And I'm like looking around and seeing, "I'm not talking about authority, God. I've prepared a message." And he goes, "I want you to talk about authority." And so I pondered for about 5 or 10 minutes and argued with God and said, "But I've done all this preparation and I'm going to, you know, go ahead with it." And everything that came up in my mind for the next 10 minutes kept going back to authority. And so I thought I better have a listen to God and obey what he'd asked me to do. So I'll pray in a minute, but I entitled my message Authority, or if you want to expand it, Walking in the Authority God Has Given You. And it's a bit different, but like, you know, I knew it was a bit different and I knew it was from God because he just wouldn't leave me alone with it. So, Father, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you that you are a God who is alive and fresh and vital, and you want to do something incredible in our lives. And so, Father, for each and every person who is here tonight, I pray that what you have placed on my heart and that you want to bring here, that it would bring to life and help with life. And we just thank you that that you are a living God who wants to make a difference in us every day. And we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you've got your Bibles, I've got a little bit of scripture here tonight, but if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to start at John 19, 10 to 11. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, and this is a bit of dialogue just before Jesus goes to the cross between Pilate and Jesus. And verse 10 says, "So Pilate said to him, 'Will you not speak even to me? Do you not know that I have power, authority to release you, and I have power to crucify you?'" In verse 11, Jesus answered, "You would not have any power or authority whatsoever against or over me if it were not given to you from above." The ultimate authority and power we have is from above, and that is God. Matthew 28:18 says this: "Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, 'All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Jesus was given power and authority by God on earth, and to this day, Jesus' name is a name that is above every name. So what is authority? What are we talking about when we're talking about authority? Well, I had a bit of a look on the Blue Letter Bible online and had a bit of a look at what it means, what authority is. And the first part of it said, "It's the power of choice. It's the liberty of doing as one pleases." The second part of it was this. It says, "The power of authority, influence, and of right privilege." And those two words, influence and privilege, are very powerful when it comes to authority. And the power of authority can be in lots of areas. It can be in government, it can be in sport, it can be in church. There are many levels of leadership in church. It can be in business. And of course, it can be at home, and there are other areas that it can be. And who knows here that we need, in this day, we need godly leadership and people who are godly that are in authority, because of the times that we're living in, it's very, very important. The third part of it said, it's the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. So walking in the authority that God has given you. Now, some people wonder why they have no spiritual authority. And even sometimes they wonder why they have no earthly authority. Well, spiritual and earthly, they're kind of tied together. And yet, God will not give you authority if you do not come under authority. And there's a lot of people these days who've been burnt by authority in different ways. And you know, that's not good by authority. But God will not give you authority if you will not come under authority. And I believe that in a sense, when it comes to spiritual authority, if you don't come under authority that is placed by God, which God says that he has put in place all authority, he's put in place. If you don't come under that authority, he's not going to give you spiritual authority either. And, you know, that might be hard for some people to hear, but that is the reality of what God's word says. So how do we come under authority? And if you are taking any notes, this is not the exhaustive list or anything like this. This is some of the things and the reasons or how you come under authority. The first one I had was trust. Trust is an important part of coming under authority. And we were talking in the office this week, and it was interesting that we talked about the scripture in Proverbs 3 about trusting in the Lord. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trusting in God is such an important thing. And if we can't trust in God that he will put the right people in the right place, and it's not saying that sometimes authority don't make wrong decisions or bad decisions or decisions that hurt people, we've got to trust God that he's got a bigger plan in place. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. So trust is a very important thing when it comes to coming under authority. Awareness is a very important thing when it comes to coming under authority. Now, what do I mean by awareness? We've got to be aware of the truth of the Bible. And the last, you know, Graham this morning and even LaDonna last week talked about the bottom line of the truth of the Bible. And if we can't allow that to be our bottom line, then we're not going to be aware of things that are out of line, that are out of whack. We need to have an awareness. We need to have an awareness of the truth of the Bible, which will give us also an awareness of what deception is when things are put, you know, put out of order. Genesis 3:1 says this, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The serpent and Satan from the beginning is a deceiver, and he will deceive us, and we need to know what the truth is. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, and it's kind of like this relates, and it says, "The God of this age has blinded," you could put in the word deceived, "has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And as I was sitting here and just in worship, God impressed on me more about the Word of God and impressed on me about the watering down of the Word of God. There's a lot of people out there these days who are cutting bits out of the Bible. They're saying, "Oh, that's a nice story. It's just a nice fable that we can put in. And, Noah was a nice man, but he really didn't have a big boat and he really didn't take the animals two by two, and he really didn't do those things. It's just a nice story. And there's other nice stories in the Bible. Don't water down the word, because it gives you the picture of what is deception and what is not. We must rest on God's word and have an understanding of it. And when it comes to, it's got to be our ultimate authority. God's word, you know, it is our authority. And so it's important that we have an awareness of what is truth. Okay. So another thing, how do we come under authority? We submit. And the Bible talks about submitting, and it talks about submitting to God, resist the devil and he will flee. And sometimes you'll hear that scripture and people say, well, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And so people just leave half of it out. But there is submission to God. There are things in his word where we need to come in line with. We need to submit to. We need to, you know, and here's one of them that I just talked about. God has put the people in place who are in authority in your life. And you may not agree with everything they do, but it's important that we submit to God in the things that he asks us to submit to him. Well, we should be submitting to it all, but submit to God in what he's asking us to do. Resist the devil and he will flee. So submission. So we've got trust, awareness, submission. As far as authority goes, we need to be humble and teachable. Recognise his ways and let go of your own. Even if they seem okay, don't be selective in what you follow. This part is true, but I'm not sure about this. Don't be selective. Be humble and teachable. As soon as we get out of that humility and you know, we begin to not be teachable, our hearts are going to get hard. And it's an important thing when it comes to authority that we've got to be humble and teachable. Isaiah 58, verses 8 and 9 says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Sometimes our ways aren't necessarily the way to go. And I know in my life there's been times where I've been pretty stubborn about doing my own thing, and it takes a while for the message to get in. The other day we had the kids were playing in the street, and we were doing some work around home, and one of my boys, like, I couldn't find him for 10 minutes, and it turns out he'd disappeared about 5 houses down to see one of his mates, and so I. You know, after looking for 10 minutes, I thought, he must be down there. But I wasn't a happy camper, because I'd been looking for him for a while and I had my concern, but I had a bit of an idea where he was. And I went down there, and they're friends of ours, and so I walked in the door and I just said, "Oh, is Josh here?" And he said, "Yep." And so basically I walked in the door and I just said, "Look, I need to take one of my boys home, because they hadn't been asking whether they could come down." And so he came through the door, and I just looked at him, and he knew, and I said, "Home, I'll see you in the lounge room." And so by the time I got home, he complained to Mum that I'd glared at him, and that I'd upset him by glaring at him. So I sat down in the lounge room and I said, "So tell me about what's just happened." And he said, "Oh," I said, "was there any issues with why do you think I came down?" And I was a bit annoyed. And he said, "Well, I can't understand why you're upset." Okay, I said, "Okay, let's try that again. Now, is there any issues with what's just happened, and what's the problem here?" And he goes, "I didn't ask you whether I could go down there." I said, "Bingo." I said, "There we go. There's the answer in one." I said, "So for," because all his mates had come up and they were playing cricket out the front. And I said, "Okay, there we go." I said, for the next 10 minutes, because I had to look out for you for 10 minutes, you can sit inside while your mates are playing at the front. Now, I said, you may not understand totally why I needed to do that, but I need to know where you are at all times. You're too young to look after yourself. And who knows? I mean, he could have been disappeared. He could have been anywhere. Someone could have taken him. The thing he probably doesn't quite understand is that I did it for his benefit. I did it for his protection. And, you know, when we see some of the stuff that God puts as an authority, and we see some of leadership that God, and sometimes decisions are made and we don't understand, sometimes there are reasons that we will never understand. We will never quite get it. And it's not our way that's always the best way. And, you know, God will deal with the leadership in place if it's out of line. But it's important that we fall under God's placed authority, because he is our best interest at heart, like even Graham said this morning, and he is out there to look after us. Now, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes we are going to disagree with decisions that are made. Sometimes we are going to go, that's just not right. But, you know, that's where sometimes we've got to actually suck it up and go, okay, I don't know the full story. I'm going to trust you, God, that you've got this in hand. And it's important that we know that God may reveal it to us later. He may not, but he is there to look after us. He is there to protect us. And so it's a really important thing that we remain humble and teachable when it comes to authority. Okay, so that's how do we come under authority. And the next heading I had after that was, here are some things that will usurp authority. Okay, now, I don't know whether you know what usurp means, but usurping authority means to undermine, to bring down authority. And so it's an important thing that we know that these things are, so we can see in our own lives what may be issues, what may be things that could cause issues for ourselves. Okay. God's big enough to look after himself. Talking about others or gossip, particularly leadership, particularly those put in authority, gossiping about what's going on, gossiping, telling others about, oh, did you hear what they did? That was really bad. Did you see this? That was really bad. And in a way that is trying to stir things up, trying to stir trouble. That's one way to usurp authority. Negative words about those in authority. That's one way to usurp authority. Okay, judgment. Being judgmental about what you see and what you see is in place, that you think, I can't agree with that. So it's not that you're not going to see things that you may not agree with. You are going to see that, but it's the heart of judgment that comes from us. Being envious or jealous of those who might be in authority. The Bible says where there's envy and jealousy, there's all sorts of strife. That's what the Bible says about that. When we are finding it hard with unforgiveness towards those who are put in authority, and particularly church leadership, because church leadership make mistakes. I've been hurt by church leadership before, and I've had to deal with that in terms of forgiving and moving on. And before I move on to the next one, because I need to read something from 1 Samuel about it. When I talk about negative words, when I talk about things like gossip, when I talk about things like judgment, and when you hear it coming out in conversation, can I just tell you this? Keep your distance from those who do that. Keep away from those sort of people. And I'm not talking here necessarily about people who don't know God. I'm talking about people who are Christians who stir up strife, who will undermine and usurp leadership. Keep away from them. If you hear it, And even if it sounds like it's justified, keep away from it. Or stand up to it and say, that's enough. Don't do that. Those people are in authority, or that's God you're talking about, and they're placed by God. Keep away from them, okay? Keep your distance. If you get something tonight, is if you hear any of that sort of stuff, either tell them to shut up or keep away from them. Okay, we got that clear? We get that one through? All right, just thought I'd make that clear, just in case I was a bit wishy-washy on that point. And the last thing I had on these things will usurp authority or can be a problem for authority, it's not so much, it's a little bit different to the others, it's disobedience. And I want to read you this scripture about Saul. In 1 Samuel 10 verse 8, this is Samuel talking to Saul, giving him some instruction. And he says this, "Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what to do." So this is the priest telling the king, this is what I want you to do. This is the order in which this is God's word to the king. Okay, so 1 Samuel 13. So we're talking three chapters later. 1 Samuel 13, 5 to 14 says this. "The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Avon. When the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear." In verse 8, he says, "He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, 'Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings.' And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him." Sounds all very just nearly okay, but it wasn't what he was asked to do. Verse 11 says, Samuel says, "What have you done?" Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, 'Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favour.' So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." This is Samuel again. "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time." That's fairly strong words. "He would have established it for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Obedience is an important thing when it comes to authority. God puts people in authority in your life, and you may not always agree, and it may not seem like it's the way to go, but God does it for a reason and a purpose. And you know what? Nearly every time, it's because he's trying to do something in us. And so it's important that we listen to what the authority put in place by God is saying. And, you know, and I'm talking about God directly by his word and what his word says too. Here's two different relationships and two different responses to authority. And the first one is Saul and David. Okay, I just to give you a picture about some of the things that I've talked about. And this is about a leader who was out of line. Okay, this is about, we're talking about the authority that was out of line. 1 Samuel 18, verses 8 to 11. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly, They have credited David with 10,000s, he thought, but me with only thousands. This is when the people said, oh, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000s. And they were singing a song. And Saul was getting pretty annoyed about this. And he said, what more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre. As he usually did, Saul had a spear in his hand and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. Here's a leader that's out of line. Okay, and I've just chosen one example of this. Saul tried to kill David, I think, a few times. And David had the opportunity to kill Saul. But David understood leadership. He understood authority. He understood that Saul was God's appointed authority at the time. And so he followed what God was asking him to do. And he did what God was asking him to do. And he would not take the sword or the spear to Saul. He let God deal with Saul. And that is the way that we need to be. Sometimes we think we need to take things into our own hands when authority is out of whack. And I'm not just talking about church. I don't know if you've ever worked in a workplace. You know, there's people. I worked for an employer once, and he was a womanizer, and he did the wrong thing. But God asked me to keep working there. And he asked me to keep staying there and doing the job that I had to do. Now, sometimes I had to talk about a couple of things with him, but he asked me to do what I had to do. Now, you know, some people might say, well, why didn't you cut and run? Why didn't you leave? Well, because I was trying to hear what God was trying to say to me. And you know, sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes God puts us in a place and we've got to be obedient to what God is asking us to do, even though the leadership or the authority is out of whack. Okay, here's the second one. And this is not a good response, okay? This is about David and Absalom. Okay, so David's response to Saul was a real positive one. And you could see the outworking in David's life of kingship and leadership that came upon him and authority that came upon him. Okay, now David wasn't perfect, so don't think I'm standing here saying David's just an amazing leader and he's the perfect guy. You know, he was an amazing leader, but he wasn't perfect. Okay, so David and Absalom. 2 Samuel 15, 1-4. Now, just to give you a bit of background, okay, Absalom was David's son, if you weren't sure. What happened was one of his stepbrothers, Absalom's stepbrothers, raped his sister Tamar, and Absalom... David didn't do anything about it, and so Absalom took it into his own hands and killed his stepbrother. He wanted to do that, and he dealt with it, and he had him killed. Okay, so he was angry that his father hadn't dealt with the issue. All right, so this is a little bit further down the track, and this is 2 Samuel 15, verses 1 to 4. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses, and with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. This is the city that David was king of. Whenever anyone came to him with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there's no representative of the king to hear you." And Absalom would add, and here's the important thing, and he said, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case could come to me and I would see that they receive justice." There is a classic case of Absalom undermining the leadership that is in place. Now, the story of Absalom isn't one that's fun. And so, just so you know, Absalom had long hair. Now, when you talk about long hair, when the Bible talks about long hair, or when you see long hair in the Bible, it is talking about natural gifting. It's talking about a gift that is on your life. Or it talks about good looks, or, you know, it's about a natural kind of gift or look. And so Absalom was trying to kill his dad. He was trying to kill David. He wanted David gone. And so in the end, Absalom came to his own demise, and it's interesting enough, his gifting and ability is the thing that brought him unstuck, and he ended up hanging himself from a tree by his hair and died that way. He broke the authority that God had put in place and tried to bring it down. But God had placed that authority in, and he was trying to undermine the authority that God had put in place. This is good fun, isn't it? This is great fun to hear about this stuff. But I don't know why I'm bringing this message tonight. I'm just being obedient to what God's given me. But I don't know whether it's one, two, or there might be a few of you here that need to hear this tonight. It's important we know that we follow God's authority and who God's put in place. And what we see here is that Absalom's life is the one that came unstuck, not David's, Absalom's, when he didn't follow the rules of engagement and he didn't come under the authority. Even though David had been out of line, even though he'd probably done some things wrong, he didn't come under that authority. Okay, so there's the two pictures of two relationships about authority. Saul and David. David did the right thing. David and Absalom. And Absalom did the wrong thing and tried to undermine authority. You've got to watch that. You've got to watch that in your own life. It's important that we don't get to that point. And if we see any of these things in our life, then we go, okay, let's deal with it and move on. Okay. So what does coming under God's authority give you? Well, it's kind of like, and this is my wife's idea, so it's kind of like, I think Teresa Berry thought I was going to try and do a Mary Poppins kind of thing, but this is God's authority, okay? And coming under God's authority. Now, once again, this is not an exhaustive list. This is a list that I believe this is what coming under God's authority gives you. And I'll just start by saying this. Imagine a 3-year-old child who basically was left to look after themselves without a parent or anyone in charge of them. Imagine what would happen to them. If you know any 3-year-old children, imagine they were given the keys to a house and they were told, okay, you're your own boss. You're going to look after yourself now. I think of the things that would probably happen. I don't think the diet would be too healthy. I think the safety of the child would come into question. I think the clothing would be an issue. I think there would be many issues. And so we need to see this important thing, this umbrella of authority coming under God's authority and what it does for us. So it gives us confidence. It gives us confidence that God is looking after us. Coming under his authority gives us confidence. Now, we might think, well, I don't feel confident. Well, there is a confidence that we have knowing that God is looking after us. It gives us protection. When we think of the children of Israel, when they were going through the desert, and when they were under the cloud, they were protected and they were fed. And when they decided they weren't going to go under the cloud and do their own thing, then they lost that protection. And in the desert, you didn't last very long without God's protection. It gives provision in your life. Coming under God's authority gives provision. It gives you peace, peace that goes beyond all understanding. And that's what the word says. It gives you direction and it gives you guidance under God's authority. It also gives you wisdom. You know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so, you know, when we come under God's authority, and look, I'm trying to get across to you that there are times when you're not going to agree with everything you see or read, okay? But it's important that you understand that these things will coming under God's authority. It gives you a perspective other than your own. coming under God's authority. That's if you're teachable, of course. If you're not teachable, well, you might enjoy your own perspective, and so that might be what you enjoy. It gives you influence. Coming under God's authority actually gives you influence, and it also gives you authority coming under God's authority, and that is one of the most important things. There's a lot of people wondering why they have no authority, spiritual or earthly authority, because they don't want to come under authority themselves. And it's an important thing that we come under authority. It gives us freedom. Now let's think of the ultimate authority. Because Jesus came under God's authority, because he said he did what the Father had told him to do, we have freedom. We have the ultimate freedom because Jesus came under God's authority. He did what his Father had asked him to do. We now have the freedom to live. And so with authority and coming under authority, we have freedom. Galatians 5:1 says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Come under God's authority. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not fun. I'm not talking about abuse here, I'm not talking about abusive leadership. But come under God's authority, and that's what that's what it brings. So, just quickly again, those things that you get confidence, protection, provision, peace, direction and guidance, wisdom, a perspective other than your own, influence, authority. Remember what authority is and what we talked about at the start, and freedom. So, what areas in life does it help you with? It helps you in your family. Helps you in your finance. You can't come under the authority of a boss, even though they might be a ratbag. Guess what? No job, no food on the table. So sometimes we're not going to have the best bosses in the world. But if we cut and run every time, it's going to be hard to get food on the table. And in those situations, pray that God shows you how to deal with the authorities that are in place. It's going to help you at church. It's going to help you in ministry. It's going to help you in your relationships. The Bible talks a lot about relationships and the order of that God wants. It's going to help you with healing and health. So how and when do we use God's authority? We use it all the time. There isn't a time that we shouldn't use God's authority. In every circumstance, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to finish by reading Ephesians 6, verse 1. And it says this: "I pray," it's verse 8 if you've got your Bibles. I've got a typo error here. Anyway, I'll read the scripture from where it is. I think it's from verse 18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Sorry, it's Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 22. My apologies. "And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead." He took authority in that situation and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. "Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things, every situation, under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." In your life tonight, and I didn't know who was going to be here, but if you've got issues with authority or have had issues with authority, can I ask you, God wants you to deal with them, because coming under authority, in God's sense, will do amazing things in your life. and it will break some things open. And not only will it do that, and this is what we quite don't get, is that you will be able to walk in the authority that God has given you. If you can't come under God's authority, you won't be able to walk in the authority, and there will be situations that you will be able to call upon the name of Jesus that is above every name, and it says here, all things under his feet, and you will start to see some breakthrough in those areas. But you've got to ask God to help you to understand what authority is, how we come under authority, what does coming under authority give us, what areas does it help us with in life, and how and when do we take and use God's authority. God is an amazing God. Now, I have no idea why I was meant to bring this message tonight, but if you're sitting here, I would suggest that this may help you now. It might help you in 5 years. It might help you in a place. But God has impressed this on me, and I can't tell you how heavily he's impressed it on me. So start to take the authority that God has given you now in your life. I'll just finish with one little story. About 6 weeks ago, I prayed for my youngest son. He had been visiting us in bed at about 1 to 4 every morning. Every morning. And it's okay for me because he jumps on his mother's side of the bed and she loses sleep. But most of the time I don't wake up. And she was getting extraordinarily frustrated about this, and you know, it was just becoming a habit in his life. And so, please don't think this is about patting me on the back, because that's not what this is about. So I said, okay, let's pray about this. So I went into the room sometimes he gets, not like night terrors, but he's very, very, moves about in his sleep, and sometimes he makes noises and squeals and does all these things, and you think, what's got hold of him in there? So I walked in the room, and he was kind of half conscious, but you know, he wasn't really with it. And I said, Lucas, it's okay, Daddy's here. Daddy's here with you. Now I said, it's important that you know that Jesus is here with you too. And it's important that you know that you can call on Jesus' name and that he's your friend. And so when you get scared or when you have a rough night, what I want you to do is I want you to go and understand that Jesus is with you and ask Jesus to help you, and his Holy Spirit will help you. And I want you to see that it helps you get a better night's sleep. That happened 6 weeks ago. I don't know whether it's because he's not feeling 100%, or it's because it's the night before I'm doing this message. But for 6 weeks since that moment, aside from last night, and I'm talking about two to three years of this happening, for 6 weeks since that night, he has not entered the room once. He has slept right through the night with an occasional flutter in his sleep. Now, we can call that coincidence, or we can call that taking hold of God's authority that he has given us and seeing it at work in our lives. But it's important that we understand how God sees authority and the importance of it. All right, so if you've got some areas in your life that you need to see some authority taken in, can I encourage you, if there's any stuff in here that needs to be dealt with, then deal with it. God will, you know, just go to God and say, I know these have been areas in my life that I've either disrespected, or I've, you know, without me even knowing that I've had these things happen. Just give it to God. He'll deal with it, and let's see some breakthrough happen, and let's see his power evident, his authority evident in situations in your life. All right, we cool with that? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We know that it's life-changing. We thank you for the authority that is your word. We thank you for the awesome God that you are. And Lord, that you love us regardless, but you also put some things in place to give us understanding about how things work. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your God-given authority that you have given us in our life. And we just give you praise for tonight. And we thank you for these things. In the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.